The book of Judges in the Old Testament, chapter 7, beginning at verse 1. From the Word of God, "Then Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, and all the people who were with him rose early and encamped beside the well of Jared. So the camp of the Midianites was on the north side of them by the hill of Morah in the valley. And the Lord said to Gideon, 'The people who are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel claim glory for itself against me, saying, "My own hand has saved me." Now therefore proclaim in the hearing of the people, saying, "Whoever is fearful and afraid, let him turn and depart at once from Mount Gilead." And 22,000 of the people returned, and 10,000 remained. But the Lord said to Gideon, "The people are still too many. Bring them down to the water, and I will test them for you there. Then it will be that of whom I say to you, 'This one shall go with you,' the same shall go with you. And of whomever I say to you, 'This one shall not go with you,' the same shall not go." So he brought the people down to the water, and the Lord said to Gideon, "Everyone who laps from the water with his tongue as a dog laps, you shall set apart by himself. Likewise, everyone who gets down on his knees to drink." And the number of those who lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, was 300 men. But all the rest of the people got down on their knees to drink water. Then the Lord said to Gideon, "By the 300 men who lapped, I will save you and deliver the Midianites into your hand. Let all the other people go, every man to his place." So the people took provisions and their trumpets in their hands, and he sent away all the rest of Israel, every man to his tent, and retained those 300 men. Now the camp of Midian was below him in the valley. And one verse from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, verse 33. Another parable he spoke to them: "The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till it was all leavened." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. This is one of Scripture's most searching pages. God looks at 32,000 volunteers who have offered their service and says, "That's too many. Too many by far. Reduce them." Then God looked at the 10,000 that remained and said, "That's still too many. Reduce them." And then God looked at the 300 and said, "Now, Gideon, those are your men. To the battle." Well, let's start at the beginning. The first thing to notice is this. As soon as Gideon sent out a cry for volunteers, 32,000 stepped up. You see, at this time, Israel was a broken nation. They were in bondage to Midian. They even had to hide food in caves to be able to have enough to eat when Midian came on raids against the nation. But as soon as a cry was given, 32,000 stepped up. And across the countryside, there's the cry, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon." One decisive lead was all that they were needing. And now Gideon's delighted with this. And he says, as long as we have these, now we can throw off our chains. Now we can throw off the slavery that we've been under. But God speaks to him and says, Wait a minute, Gideon. That's too many. This army's too big. You need to reduce it. You need to cut down the number. And can you imagine this man who has stepped up to be the general saying, reduce them, too big. I was thinking if we could just raise another half a dozen battalions. How wonderful it would be to have that many to go against our enemy. But God said it's too many. You must thin them out. What's the reason? Let me suggest three things. The first is in the second verse we read. Lest Israel themselves vaunt themselves up against me and take the glory for themselves. Israel's confidence was not to be in numbers. It was not to be in equipment. It was not to be in the size of the army. It was to be in the Lord God Almighty. And the word of the Lord comes to Gideon and says, you have too many people there. If you win, they're going to take the credit. They won't give the credit to me and my glory and my power for having delivered you. It seems as though we're living in a time when we're depending on sizes of armies and sizes of power and sizes of strength and the amount of things that we can gather together. And we're trusting in our foresight and our planning and our intelligence and our technological know-how. And all of that is good, but it's a dreadful second place compared to the strength and the power that God promises to us. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. And then the second reason is that's given for the reduction of the army is send back those that are afraid. You see, a lot of these folks stepped up when the cry came. Man, that sounds like a great thing. Everybody's getting in, let me get in. And they haven't stopped to ask, where's he likely to lead us? He's called us to go, but where are we going? It's the same thing that Jesus faced. Turn over to the Gospels and you'll find that when Jesus is setting out in ministry, when he's barely started out, when he's just in the beginning days, his teaching and his miracles and his presence is so attractive to people that they flock to him. Let's get on the party. Let's get in with the bandwagon. And they haven't stopped to ask, Lord, we said, with us whoever thou goest, we'll go. But where are you going? They haven't asked, where's he likely to lead us? And then one day Jesus held up the cross and asked, will you follow me now? And they begin to stammer and they begin to stutter. And he said, we hadn't bargained for this. We better reconsider. Perhaps we'll be back later. And the next moment they're hurrying away and saying, man, we're glad to be out of that. It's well to be out of that. What a preposterous program. And what a blessing it was before we got out of there, before it was too late. And the third reason is God's strategy does not depend on numbers. Gideon was counting on the thousands. God's strategy does not depend on numbers. John Wesley said, do not give me big ecclesiastical battalions. Give me 100 men who fear nothing but sin and love nothing but God. And I will shake the gates of hell. Where do you think Wesley got that? From his Lord. From our Lord. From Jesus. who stood up and said, "Surely." Jesus tells the story of the leaven. Little short parable. The kingdom of God is like a little bit of leaven that a woman took and hid in a large amount of flour. The contemporary English version says, in three enormous batches of flour. And it soon leavened the whole mixture. And they were able to make an incredible amount of bread. You see, in the great days after Pentecost, when the church sweeps across the Mediterranean world, it's not because they're mighty and influential. It's not because their numbers are in legions of thousands, but because they're few in numbers, they're convinced of one thing. And that is their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. They believe in His death and His resurrection and His eternal Lordship, and they're experiencing the living presence of Jesus in their lives. And they're recognizing that as the most important fact in all of the world. Now come back to Gideon and his army. He's down to 22,000. He's thinking, he's down 22,000. He has 10,000 left. And he's thinking, okay, surely we can't cut any farther than this. Let's go to battle. And God says, wait another minute. You still have too many. Take them down to the river, and I'm going to separate them for you. The one that I say goes, goes. The one that I say stays, stays. And I'll do the separating. And they get down to the river, and they're about to have a drink. And 9,700 of that 10,000 take off their helmets, lay down their swords, lay down their shields, get face down in the river, and start lapping up the water as a dog might lap up the water. And then there are 300 who get down on one knee, still their helmet on, still the spear in their hand, and get just a little bit of water in their hand and never take their eyes off of Gideon. And God says, those 300, they're the ones. They're the ones I'm going to give the victory to. They're the ones you're going to take into the battle. They're the ones that are going to overcome the enemy. Do you get the meaning? Do you catch the meaning? The 300 were chosen, not because they're heroes, but because when they paused to drink, they never took their eyes off of their leader. And the message to you and I in the church today is, don't take your eyes off of Jesus, no matter what's happening around you. There's only one salvation. That's in Jesus Christ our Lord. And if He's not the clue to history, there's no clue. If He's not the answer to problems we haven't even thought of, there's no answer. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Let me close with two stories of people in God's Word who would not have been included in the 30,000. They would not have been included, 32,000. They would not have been included in the 10,000. But they would have been included in the 300. And the first one we would have said, well, with his background, he's disqualified. And the second one we would have said, well, he doesn't have the right credentials. The first one was a boy who came to the throne of Judah when he was 12 years old. His name was Manasseh. His name was Manasseh. His father's name was Hezekiah. His mother's name was Hephzibah. And the word of the Lord comes to Hezekiah and says, Hezekiah, get your affairs in order. You're going to die. And Hezekiah prayed, God, be merciful. Give me more time. Give me more years.
And God answered that prayer and gave you 15 more years. And 3 years after the word has come, you're going to die. Get your affairs in order. Manasseh's born. And can you imagine for the next 12 years, every time he's with his dad, his dad would say, "Son, you know, you shouldn't even have been born. God said I was going to die, but he gave me 15 more years. And here you are because of the grace of God." Over and over again, he would have heard the power of the story of the grace of God. And then at age 12, he comes to the throne. And the first thing he does is spoil all of the worship places of God. Set up images and idols to false gods. Lead his people in false worship.
He burns his own son in the fire as an offering to the false gods. And the streets of Jerusalem run red with blood. God sends an invading army. Manasseh's captured. They take an iron hook, put it through his upper lip, through his nose, curve it, put a chain on it, seal it, and he's led back into Babylon in captivity. And in Babylonian captivity, he prays. Now he could have said, "Here I am, I was a king, now I'm a prisoner, I've defiled the temple, I've defamed the Lord God Almighty, there's nothing I can do." But in prison he prayed. And would you believe that God restored him to the throne and he reigned for 55 years in peace and in righteousness? Just one person. With their eyes on God. And the second one is Nehemiah. Nehemiah is born in that same Babylonian captivity. He's never seen Jerusalem. He's heard the stories, but he's never seen the city. And as a slave, his job is the cupbearer to the king. That means he drinks the wine before the king drinks it. He tastes the food before the king eats it. And if he clutches his throat and starts gasping and foaming and falls to the ground, the king doesn't eat it. But if he stands alive, the king eats it. And from that position, he goes to the king who says, "Jerusalem will not be rebuilt," and says, "I'd like to go back and rebuild Jerusalem." And the king allows Jerusalem to be rebuilt. One man. Do you realize there's nothing? Do you really think there's nothing you can do? Do you realize the whole Bible is about a minority, and usually a minority of one, never about a majority? Nothing in Christian faith takes a majority. Nothing in Christian faith takes a majority. Never has. The Lord took a handful of people and turned this world upside down. And the same power that He gave to them is the power He's given to every believer on the face of the earth. It's a matter of not whether we use the power. Don't look for the majority. They're not going to be with you. Don't look at the big numbers. But remember Gideon. Count the cost. Keep your eyes on the Master. And give God all the credit. Now, just one more thing. I saw a comedian one time who said, when a speaker says, "And finally," and in conclusion, it means he's at 50 second wind and hang on because there's another 20 minutes coming. No, not true, at least this morning. Like most of you, probably, I have been following, or I followed this last week, the story of the submersible Titan as it was lost and the rescue attempts. And the final word that the sub had imploded
pressure from outside crushed him. And the experts said that at the moment of implosion, the moment it was crushed, it would produce such an incredible force that the five people inside were killed immediately. Felt nothing, they knew what, didn't know what was happening, didn't have a clue. But the reason that the Titan was lost was because the hull was not sufficient to withstand the pressure of the depths at the Titanic. And you say, oh, David, they had made dozens of trips before. Yes, they had. But it was the wrong material. That carbon fiber was the wrong material. And every descent to the Titanic weakened the hull. Did you ever take a piece of metal and just bend it back and forth until finally it snaps? Because where you were bending it, it got weak. The hull got so weak from the pressure of repeated dives that they didn't have a chance.
It exploded. It imploded. Now, what's that mean to you and I as believers in Jesus Christ? What does that mean to St. Mark? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 says, God is faithful. And let me put it in David's words, and will not let the pressure crush you. No matter how many times the pressure comes, if you're standing in the power of the Lord God Almighty, if you're standing in His might and in His strength and with His Spirit, no matter how many times the pressure comes against you, it cannot crush you. It will not crush you. That is the promise of the Lord God Almighty. You can withstand the pressure and not be crushed. You say, well, I'm only one. Yeah, you are. But one in the name of Jesus Christ. With His power, with His might, with His strength, with His Spirit. Is more than sufficient against any enemy.